Certainly is a joy to be back with you all again tonight, and also to engage in these wonderful songs that are praising unto God and very beneficial to each one of us. The last song that we had just sung, Give Me the Bible, is very true because in our society today, we all need to hear it. And many have not even heard it. There might be some that hear bits and pieces but have large gaps that need to be filled. It seems like if you listen in to the news or pay attention to what's going on culturally, you find out that things are changing, and oftentimes not for the better. For example, just this past week, perhaps the most popular news item that is being discussed all over Facebook and throughout the community is that of Phil Robertson, who was the star of A&E's Duck Dynasty. If you're not familiar with it, there was a comment that he had made concerning his views on the issue of homosexuality, rightfully hinting at the fact that the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, that those that engage in homosexuality or approve of such will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches, but that's not necessarily the popular opinion. The things that people want to hear. And so, as a result, it has been requested that he be removed from being seen on the program, and then negotiations ensue as to how the situation is going to be handled. But I can only hope and pray that he will continue to stand for the truth no matter what happens. You know, that situation has occurred many times before, and may occur to every one of us as we strive to live the faithful Christian life. I want us to focus on a few things that the Apostle Paul had to say regarding this. First, let's go to the book of Philippians in chapter 1. Because there, I believe, a statement that Paul makes to the church at Philippi, you can see how Phil could rightfully apply this, and we all need to hear and learn from. Philippians chapter 1, and look at verse 14. Here Paul says, "And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Are we that way? Paul was that way. When you think about all the things that happened to Paul, he was still willing to teach the truth. After all, that's the commission that God had given to us. And likewise, Paul had said to many other individuals. For example, when you turn to the book of 2 Timothy, there in chapter 4, Paul gives Timothy a charge that is very applicable even today. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 2, Paul clearly says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside into fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Does that seem like what is happening today? People's ears are always itching. They want to hear what they want to hear, not necessarily what God is saying. And Paul was charging Timothy, whether people want to hear it, whether they don't, in season, out of season, if it's the popular thing or not, it's your responsibility to preach the word. Simply, nothing more and nothing less. And yet, as Paul points out, there are some that try to change the word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, there in verse 17, the Apostle Paul was warning that some are trying to corrupt the word of God. But he says, instead of doing that, it should be preached sincerely, just as he was striving to do. After all, what we are preaching comes from God Himself. It needs to be the genuine word, the plain and simple truth, nothing more and nothing less. Many times people try to put words in God's mouth. We try to say, well, this is what He said, or this is what I think He means. But that's not the way God works, is it? He always says exactly what He means, and He means exactly what He says. That's why when you look with me to the last book in the Bible, in the book of Revelation in chapter 22, you find that John issues a very important warning. In Revelation, the very last book, chapter 22, the very last chapter, Paul says in verse 18, "For I testify to anyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Very clear, isn't it? If we add to the word of God, God will add unpleasant things to us. If we take away from them, He will remove us from a very important book. And if our name is not found in the book of life, I'm sure we all know what the consequences would be. Therefore, when we preach the word, we preach it plain and simple. Nothing more, nothing less. After all, God has already said anything and everything we need to know. His word that we have today is complete. Remember how Paul described that word to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3? Remember there in verse 16, a passage I'm sure that is very familiar to many of us? He said very plainly, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. If there is something lacking in our lives, maybe we do not know the Word of God as well as we should. And that's why when we begin to read and study it, just like the Ethiopian eunuch did that we looked at this morning, we find that we can continue to grow in that faith. The Bible tells us what is right. The Bible tells us what is wrong. And if we have any questions about what we're doing or what we should do, the Word of God would have the answer. All we have to do is know where to go. And once we get there, to diligently search for it, to find it, to learn it, and to apply it. And that's what's missing in our world. The people do not know where to go to the source, when God has already shed the light on such matters. But just as we know, perhaps in denominationalism or various other religions throughout the entire world, there are people that like favorites. Well, I like what this passage says, but I do not necessarily like or agree with what another passage says. In fact, I often hear about people that with a pair of scissors can go and cut out passages that they do not like, which we know really violates the Word of God. But we need to preach its completeness. Do you remember what Paul said in the book of Acts in chapter 20? There and in verse 27, he mentioned his outlook on his mission to go from place to place preaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, Paul clearly says, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." How much did he declare? Anything and everything. The parts that are popular, the parts that are unpopular, but each and every part is the truth. That's what we all need to hear. Sometimes there are things that are very pleasant to us. Sometimes there are things that are very unpleasant, especially as the Hebrew writer describes in chapter 4 and in verse 12, how the Word of God is very powerful. It is quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. Yes, it gets even to our very hearts. We look upon it to see God is telling me the truth. But am I doing what God said? Well, the human thought is that if I do not like what God said, it's okay because I can continue doing what I'm doing. The only problem with that is there is appointed a time in which man must die. And after this, the judgment, as Hebrew writer later tells us in his word, chapter 9 and verse 27. And when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, as we're all going to do, we're going to have to give an account of ourselves. We're going to have to answer, perhaps, for our disagreements, for our willingness or unwillingness to do the Word of God. And that all boils down to, who are we afraid of? Are we afraid to do what God said because it is not popular with men? Are we afraid to do what God says because others are going to get us, so to speak? Well, then that challenges, who do we love? Who do we love more, God or anyone else? Remember, Jesus clearly said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It's plain and simple. We've got to put God first, to love Him more than anything else. After all, was that not the greatest commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul, and with all our strength? John comments if we truly love God. In the book of 1 John in chapter 4, if you would turn there for a brief moment, John tells us how we can show that we truly love God. In 1 John chapter 4, notice his description of love in verse 17. He says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." If we truly love God, we will not be afraid to speak His word, speak the truth. What happens if we are afraid? Well, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. John says, because fear involves torment. I'm sure you're all thinking why fear involves torment. John would explain that in his book of Revelation. Do you remember in chapter 21 and verse 8 of Revelation, John lists a large group number of things, people that do things that will enter into the second death, the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. Do you happen to recall which was the first group mentioned on the list? The fearful. Those that are afraid. Those that truly do not love God enough to speak the truth. How come people do not speak the truth? Because they're afraid of what man can do to them. But, brethren, that's not what Jesus said for us to do. In fact, turn with me now to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 10, because here Jesus is going to assure us that it's okay to stand by Him. There is something that God can do that man cannot do. There is something that we really have to be concerned about. In Matthew chapter 10, let's begin in verse 27, Jesus says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus knows that in His eyes we are worth a great deal. After all, He was willing to lay down His life on our account. He made it possible that we can be forgiven of our sins, reconciled to God, and live eternally in heaven with Him. That's how much value that we have to God. And Jesus says if we are worth that much, why do we worry about mankind, who perhaps in their eyes we do not have as much value? After all, He says that they can only destroy our bodies. Now, we all know that our physical body is not perfect. After a while, it begins to wear out, doesn't it? I remember reading a long list of items in the bulletin. There's a lot of people that got a lot of problems. And it seems like it gets bigger and bigger. As some individuals might say, well, I just got rid of one problem and then another problem flares up. And that's the way human nature is. But thankfully, the body will be destroyed, only in return to receive something better, something that will last forever and not be as weak as what we have now. But our soul is what's most important, and that's why Jesus says we need to really care for our soul, because the body will not last forever, but the soul will. And the question is, where are we going to spend our eternal soul? Will it be in heaven, or will it be in hell? Are we afraid, maybe, that we're not going to spend it in the right place? Maybe we're afraid of men who can only destroy the body. But no, we should fear the Lord who can destroy both body and soul. The book of Psalms gives us many implications of individuals that truly want to fear God and do what He says. For example, in Psalm 118, there in verse 6, the psalmist said, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" What is there to be afraid of if God is on our side? Man can only do something temporarily, but rather God can do something eternally. Or earlier in Psalms, chapter 27, there in verse 1, again, the psalmist said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Who is there to be afraid of? You'll find it interesting that these words are not only found in the Old Testament, but rather the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 6, quotes these very words. Even the Hebrew writer recognized the fact we need to fear God and not mankind. Similarly, the Apostle Paul asked to the Romans in chapter 8 and verse 31, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" It may seem like a hard question to answer. If God is for us, who can be against us? People may disagree with us. They might can do something to us here in this life, but that is nothing compared to what God can do to us. He will reward us as we stand firm proclaiming His truths, but on the other hand, will punish us if we do not. Well, after realizing that we need to be bold proclaiming the Word of God, maybe we know what we need to do, but not ready to do it. Maybe we still need to hear, "Did anybody else do that?" I know we all have different learning styles, and some people just hear and know exactly what they need to do. They're good to go. Others have to see things to see, this is how it's spelled out, and once I watch somebody, then I've got it in my mind and I can copy what they do. Well, we have plenty of examples of those that were willing to boldly proclaim the Word of God. The first example that we can look at is in the book of Acts, chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, you'll recall that Peter and John were just put into prison. Back in chapter 3, they had been able to heal a lame man, and many people wondered about this. And as they began to teach then about who Jesus was and what they were able to do through Him, in the first few verses in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John begin to preach the resurrection from the dead that is only found in Christ Jesus. But remember the problem with that? The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection. Pharisees proclaim that, and thus a division would arise between the two. And as they're causing great trouble in the city, they're put into prison only to boldly proclaim the things that they had learned from Jesus Christ. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, we find the result that they had. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. People could see that Peter and John were bold to proclaim the Word of God. Prison didn't stop them. They were continually doing what Christ commanded them to do. And no doubt, as the chapter continued, it would have a great impact upon others, that they too would be bold to speak the Word of God. But we'll get to that in just a little bit. Another example begins in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look with me now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because here, as Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, he refers to an event no doubt we all know very well. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul writes, "But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." What happened to Paul in Philippi? Why was he so bold to speak the Word of God then? Well, I'm sure you remember, again in Philippi with Silas, Paul again was in prison. His hands and his feet were bound, but yet they didn't let that stop them. In fact, even at midnight, they were singing praises unto God. Acts chapter 16 records this important event. And as a result, remember, there was a great earthquake. Their hands and feet were loosed, and the jailer that was in charge of them realized that if they escaped, his life would be accounted for. And so he was just about to kill himself when Paul said to him, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And as a result, he came in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That very occasion allowed the gospel to be preached, and it allowed a very precious soul to be saved. Yes, he was willing to know what to do, commanded by God, only as a result of here seeing the boldness of Paul and Silas. But then, Paul was very bold on other occasions. You remember in his early life, in Acts chapter 7, he assisted those that stoned Stephen to death for preaching the gospel. Stephen was very bold, willing to give up his life for the cause of Christ. But then, as Saul began to cause more problems, making havoc of the church, as Acts chapter 8 goes on to tell us, by divine revelation, God allowed things to go a different route. We find he met a man by the name of Ananias that taught him what he needed to do. And once Saul realized that he needed to obey the gospel, then he went back and proclaimed the very message to save men's souls of whom he was trying to destroy. And notice what happened in Acts chapter 9 as a man by the name of Barnabas began to work with him, realizing the boldness that he had. In Acts chapter 9 and in verse 27, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Hellenists, and they attempted to kill him. Imagine that. He was very bold after receiving the gospel message. Even when his life was in jeopardy, he continued to stand firm in the Word. Regardless of where Paul went, he was always bold to preach the truth. For example, if you want to write a couple things down for future reference, in Acts chapter 14 and in verse 3, you can read how he was very bold proclaiming the Word in Iconium. Or later in Acts chapter 19, there in verse 8, the book of Acts goes on to tell us how bold Paul was to preach in Ephesus. But sometimes we're not very bold speakers, are we? Some of us were talking about speech class a few times over the past few days, and it's interesting to see how some people love it and some people hate it. And it depends on what all you're asked to do, and some people just do not like getting up in front of a group of people and telling what they need to hear, or perhaps what they want to say. But there's other forms of communication, such as writing. It's not always what you say, but you can also write it in a letter. Well, in one of Paul's letters, he mentions how bold he was in his writing. For example, in Romans chapter 15, you'll find that in verse 15, Paul said there, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you, because of the grace given to me by God." There were things that Paul was not afraid to write about. And one certain man that always comes to my mind thinking about this is Tom Magazoo. Tom Magazoo is one of the members of the Wood Avenue Church of Christ in Florence, Alabama, and he has a very important role. He is the editor for the Courier Journal, which is a local paper that is widely circulated throughout the area. And it's always interesting to hear him talk about the letters that he gets in the Letters to the Editor column, the things that he has to read and figure out what I can publish and what cannot. Some things might be almost good enough to publish, but might need to make a few corrections. And he always says that there are some people that are very bold in what they write, as evidenced by the language, perhaps, that they use in the attitude. Some people may be afraid to write in and not say anything, or some people might be a little bit more bold to write, but not say everything that they want to say or should be said. And so he especially has a very important responsibility to print those things that are suitable to print, and also would cause us to stop and consider our salvation, considering the various viewpoints that people in our world really have. But we all need to examine ourselves. Do we, like Paul and the rest of the apostles, and even Mr. Robertson that we talked about at the beginning, do we too have the boldness to proclaim the Word of God in its pure form? If not, there is a way that we can receive boldness and confidence. One way is through our faith in Jesus Christ. Look with me now to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Because here Paul begins to say there is one way that helps us increase our boldness. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. Paul says, "According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him." Paul says our boldness and access with confidence is through our faith in Jesus Christ. Just as he told the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The stronger my faith develops in who Jesus is and what He has done for me, no doubt it will help me to get easier and easier doing the things for Him. Makes sense, doesn't it? But still, what if we're also very, very weak? Well, let's consider the fact that there might be others that are weak, and we can encourage one another. And if you were with us last Sunday afternoon, remember that one way is through prayer. Let's go back now to the book of Acts. Chapter 4, in the same chapter, hearing about Peter and John as they were arrested for preaching the truth, let's see the impact that it had upon many other Christians. In Acts chapter 4, let's skip on down to verse 29. You'll find that there was a prayer that was offered. The prayer says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. See what happened? They prayed that they would receive the boldness to speak the truth. And we all know God answers prayers, doesn't He? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Imagine the fervent prayer by these righteous people. It availed much by giving them the boldness to proclaim the truth. And how do you think that would impact the world when they would hear the truth proclaimed? In a very, very good way. Well, similarly, Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, he describes just as we can pray for others, he too requested that others would pray for him. He says, concluding in verse 18, "With all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Paul knew that God had charged him to boldly proclaim the message of Christ. But yes, even Paul says, "I need your prayers to help me do that." Well, tonight, brethren, I ask for your prayers that I'll continue boldly proclaiming the Word of God. I pray for you that you will boldly proclaim the Word of God. Together, we can teach the entire Word of God to the entire world that all may be saved. Tonight, am I doing my part? Are you doing your part? We're just about to sing a song of encouragement. If there be anyone tonight that needs to be obedient to the gospel or to be encouraged to boldly proclaim the word of God, we are here to assist you in any way as together we stand and sing.